I was going to start the programme with the comment that there's a bit of a smell of fish in here this morning. But I didn't want that to sound not to sound quite right. But there is, because Gail's come up with several fish dishes this week, which is a rather nice idea, actually, Gail, to sort of concentrate on that. So here we are. It's at the table, of course, with Gail Hall.
Well, I didn't get my fishing rod out, though, Peter. You know, this is strictly from the supermarket. But fresh fish is lovely. But I'm going to start with, because I saw this, and I have got another fish dish, as Peter said, but I didn't realise until I was sort of gathering my recipes together, and I thought, uh-oh, two fish dishes this week. Well, never mind, they're both different. So
They both read very well.
So we're going to start off with the smoked fish pot pies. Now, we have one large onion sliced, now 20 grams of butter plus another 35 grams, so for just adding at different times, 55 grams of plain flour, 1 cup of vegetable stock, 1 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of parsley chopped, 1 teaspoon of mustard, 1 teaspoon of lemon zest, 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and if you've got fresh, you know, you can actually grate it, you know, fresh nutmegs, which I don't have very often, but lovely if you have, salt and cracked pepper, 200 grams of white fish, and 200 grams of smoked fish, gently flaked, and of course one egg at the end there. Now what we're doing, the method is to preheat your oven first to 180 degrees Celsius fan bake, and in a large frying pan, sauté the chopped onion with the first measure of butter that I mentioned, the 20 grams of butter, just for 5 minutes. Just give it a little bit of a sauté. Then you're adding the other 35 grams of butter, and when it's melted and bubbling, add the flour and stir for a minute. And this is sort of making a roux, isn't it? You know, sort of Peter, for like a sauce, really, for this.
Gail, I've got a butt in here because you sit there waxing lyrical these days about the way I told you to make a roux.
Oh.
Carry on with this recipe and then think, could we do it that same way?
I love it. I love that recipe. I make it at least twice a week.
Well, this is an old-fashioned roux. Carry on.
Yeah, but anyway, this is you're quite right. We could actually adapt this. Now, when you've got that bubbling and it's got the flour in it, add 1/2 cup of the vegetable stock and then just stirring to ensure that there are no lumps, and then gradually add the other half of the stock, then do it again and just, you know, just make sure that there's no lumps and it's smooth. And then you're adding 1/2 cup of the milk and you're stirring it again. So a lot of stirring there. Add gradually the other half and stir again. I think we possibly could do that. I think we possibly could, and we'll mention this when we finish the recipe. So, and then add the fresh chopped parsley, mustard, lemon zest, and nutmeg, and season with the salt and pepper. Add the white fish and the smoked fish, which has been just gently flaked, you know, just beautiful, because you don't want to mush. So you're adding that, and you're gently stirring it through. Now, this is actually made in ramekins, Peter, but, you know, which is really nice. Or ramekins. Oh, I'm getting the thumbs up. Ramekins it is. And which I have some, you know, some of those at home. But there is nothing to stop you from making this into just a pie. But anyway, it always looks nice when it's individual, especially if you've got somebody coming. So you're dividing that mixture. Now, the pastry, you have some pastry just set aside, flaky, and cut rounds of puff pastry and place on top of the ramekins and brush with the whisked egg wash. Now, that's why we've got one egg, and it's probably a bit more than you need, but you can just whisk it, or if you've got an egg left over in the fridge after making something else, you could use that.
The dog always eats any egg left over.
Oh, okay. So no luck in the Peter household for leftover egg. So basically, so you're giving that pastry an egg wash over the top. And if it's a big pie, well, you can do exactly the same. Bake for 40 minutes or until that pastry is golden. Allow to cool before serving. The filling will be quite hot because it's a sort of saucy filling. Now, if you want to, you can actually scrub the pastry, you know, leave it out altogether and just boil up a few potatoes and put a mash on the top of this and it would just be lovely. In which case, you won't need an egg.
It's the filling, isn't it? That's the essence of
That's right. It is the filling. And I mean, basically, you could just have it on its own, actually. You could. And there we are.
You didn't mention the pastry in the list of...
No, I didn't,
this
actually.
This is just an option, is it?
It's an option. Oh. Yeah, it's an option to put it on top of those ramekins. But if you're using mashed potato, well, you know, that's a good substitute. But no, I didn't mention that because I just thought, well, we're doing it with pastry. You can buy the sheets now, so probably two sheets out of a packet would probably do this for the smoked fish pies.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Gail.
Right.
We won't discuss the option of making a different sort of doing the roux differently. What I'll do, I'll make one of these on Friday.
You'll make what?
I'll put my pots and pans where my mouth is, and I'll make some of these, shall I?
Oh, okay.
It's the Delia Smith, really. It's her recipe for making a roux that you're
right.
sold on.
Right.
So we won't muck about with stirring into stuff and stirring and stirring and stirring. We'll do it the quick way.
And we've got the measurements of the butter.
We have. So yeah, I think if you just sauté the onions first.
Righto.
Put them on one side and then throw everything else in the butter, the vegetable stock and the milk. And do the way you know how to do it now.
That's right.
And then chuck the onions and everything else. I'll try it.
Yeah, okay. Righto. Okay. We wait in anticipation. Well, I certainly will anyway. And I hate to rave on about it, but, you know, that recipe that Peter gave for doing cheese sauce is just amazing.
Well, Friday's fish day, and I always have to cook it.
Oh, okay. So you're going to do it
Friday.
Oh, okay. Righto. Okay.
Watch this space
now. Okay. Thank you, Peter. And we're going to move on now. And I saw this particular dish, and it's vegan shepherd's pie. But I was thinking about this because, I mean, I'm not vegan by any means, but I would certainly have this pie. It's just absolutely looks delicious. And, I mean, I love lentils anyway. But just because I'm saying to you it's a vegan shepherd's pie doesn't mean to say that you have to be vegan to eat, you know, to eat it, because this is just, you know, this is lovely.
It easily puts people off. It puts me off as soon as
I... Well, it does. It does. But, I mean, you know, when we get through the ingredients of this, Peter, what could you say that's not appealing?
Yeah, I'm sure it does look quite good, yeah.
So we're going to start off with 1.3 kilograms of washed potatoes peeled and halved, 2 tablespoons of olive oil spread, and by that I mean the olivani, you know, because we've got an olive oil and the a spread as
okay,
well.
Yep.
So 2 tablespoons of olive oil plus extra just to drizzle over the top, 1 onion finely chopped, 1 carrot finely chopped, 1 zucchini finely chopped, and 500 grams of kumara peeled and coarsely chopped, 1/3 cup of pizza sauce, 1 cup of vegetable stock, and 2x400 cans of lentils. Now, it hasn't specified, but I think I might have put down that the brown lentils, I'm not sure. That's my preference, and I think the brown lentils are the ones mainly in the tins. I'm not sure.
That's what you usually find, I think.
That's right, in the supermarket. So 2 400-gram cans of the lentils drained. 1/3 cup of chopped fresh parsley, plus a little bit of extra for spreading over the top. We always like decoration. Now, in a large saucepan of boiling water... this amused me. You do cook the potatoes for 25 minutes or until tender and drain, because, you know, I just sort of thought, well, you know, everybody knows how to boil potatoes. But that's great because, you know, we are having them boiled. Now, using mash until smooth and add the spread, that's the olivani, and season well and mash to combine. So you're using just the olivani spread there to mash those potatoes.
Gail, is there any theory about whether you should mash potatoes hot or cold?
Well, I don't think there's any theory, but for me, I think they're a lot easier to mash because they're warm and they break down easier.
Yeah. I just thought somewhere I came across you should let them.
I think with cold, they'd be quite sort of clunky potatoes, you know, sort of not getting that really. And depending what your mash is like, if you've got the good old-fashioned one like me, the Z one, have you got the Z one?
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, that's the old-fashioned one. And the other ones have got holes, haven't they?
Yes.
So you might, when you're mashing them cold, you might get these lovely little patterns all over them. but I've got one of the old-fashioned ones that I must admit. Sort of on a handle, and it's like a... probably like looks a bit like electricity, you know. It's got sort of three Zs through it. I call it Zs, but anyway, it's a great masher, just like the old fashioned hand beaters, you know, the really old fashioned ones, the big ones,
the ones that work,
the ones that work. You hit the nail the nail on the head there,
sound
Peter.
Like a right pair of old duffers.
Anyway, what we must do here is preheat the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Now, in a large frying pan, heat oil, now we're on to the oil now, on high, and sauté the onion, carrot, zucchini, and the kumara. You've got the kumara for 5 minutes, and stir in the pizza sauce and stock. Simmer on sort of medium-low for 15 minutes or until that kumara is tender. Add the lentils, cook, sort of mashing the kumara, because we cut it up in chunks, remember. So maybe with a fork rather than a masher, just sort of get it and just lightly mash it. You're not doing a mess, you're just breaking it down a little bit, just for 5 minutes. And season and stir through the parsley. Transfer to a reasonable-sized oven-proof dish and top with the mashed potatoes and drizzle with extra olive oil. Now, you're cooking that for 15 minutes or just till it's beautiful and golden on the top, and it's nothing like seeing potato in the oven being baked and it's going that beautiful brown. And serve the pie sprinkled with parsley. So... how does that appeal to you as far as vegan goes, Peter?
It sounds quite good. Unfortunately, I'm not very keen on kumara either.
Well, you could leave that out.
I hate saying that I don't like stuff because I do like most things. I do notice there's a couple of things. There's a lot of it. 1.3 kilos of potato
over the top.
400 grams of lentils.
It's a big dish.
It's a big dish. But at the same time, when people are talking about the picture looks very nice as well. Mm. When people are talking about cost of living, that wouldn't cost much to make.
No, it certainly wouldn't. It certainly wouldn't. And it may be because the lentils are in it that it's sort of really, you know, vegan. It's taken the replacement of something. So to me, I would make this, as a matter of fact... I just might make it at the weekend because that appeals to me and that will last me a while.
We're all getting fired up now.
Yeah, we are getting fired up. You're going to do the...
I will.
And I shall go and get my lentils and yes, I definitely will because it looks appealing. And I love it. It looks moist and looks lovely.
It does look nice.
It does. So there you are. You can try this recipe.
And... to celebrate it, Gail, your piece of music that you've chosen this week is
the Beach Boys, and they sing The Vegetables.
The Vegetables. What a coincidence. Let's have a listen to that then.
I'm going to be round my vegetables. I'm going to chow down my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favourite vegetable. If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables, cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable. I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right out. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you feel better when you send us in your letter and tell us the name of your favorite vegetable. I know that you feel better when you send us in.
The Beach Boys with Vegetables. Very appropriate, and that suits Gail's vegan shepherd's pie. And the next thing on the list, Gail, is...
beetroot chocolate cake. Now, I went to a lot of trouble to find this, listeners, because a friend gave me this about 10 years ago, and I actually took a camera photo of it, and basically I couldn't find it on my phone. So I went to enormous trouble to try and find this recipe, and I found it. And I was so pleased because when I had it given to me, I had no idea there was beetroot in it until after I'd eaten a piece. So it's fabulous. So let's go for it. Let me see. How much beetroot? 425 grams of beetroot. Now, you can either buy the beetroot and cook it yourself, or you can get a can.
That's my question I'd written down here, tinned question mark.
Yeah, you could get a can. But long as it's shredded or grated, you know, you can't just throw it in because you will notice that it's in the cake. But with it shredded or grated, and you can use the tin, it'd be a lot faster. Drain it, of course.
I've just got this vision of trying to grate a round beetroot out of a tin that'd be pinging all over the kitchen.
Well, I would be buying the round one. Please don't buy the slice.
No, yeah, no. It'd be worse than trying to grate a mango.
That's right. But anyway, I mean, I think 425 grams, by the time you probably got three or four beetroot, it's probably enough, you know, raw ones. So that's what you're doing, shredding it, 1 1/4 cups of plain flour, 1 cup of sugar, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 1/4 cup of cocoa, 3/4 cup of oil, 2 eggs, and 1 teaspoon of vanilla. Now, what we're doing for the method is putting the sugar, eggs, vanilla, and oil in a bowl and mix really, really well. You could actually put them probably even in a blender. But, I mean, if you've got a mixer, just make sure you're just giving it a real whisk through and mix it very well. Then you're sifting the flour, cocoa, and baking soda and add the flour mixture to the sugar mixture. Now, alternatively, you just, you know, maybe you could just put a bit of flour mixture, bit of beetroot. Because I always think... if things are coated in flour, if it's grated, it tends to spread better in the cake or whatever. If you're doing a carrot cake, just give it a dust of flour because then the carrot doesn't all sink to one place. It's sort of the flour seems to adhere to the other mixture. So just alternately put your beetroot into this, you know, mixture into the cake tin. And then you're baking it in a lined tin, because we like to line our tins, just to make sure our baking comes out. And you're baking it at 180 degrees Celsius for about 45 minutes. And just keep an eye on it. And then you're basically icing it with your favourite chocolate icing or ganache or something like that. Yeah. And believe me, and do believe me, don't taste the beetroot.
You don't, Gail. I mean, I'm aware of that. When you say beetroot chocolate cake, that sounds ridiculous. But I don't know quite what the beetroot does for it. It obviously adds moisture and a little
exactly,
bit of colour.
I think. And the colour,
and
I think, too.
A tinge of flavour, I don't know. It's certainly, I have had sort of beetroot chocolate cakes before.
Yeah.
And I made a beetroot cake once, just replacing zucchini. Or carrot. No, a carrot or something. No, it was a zucchini cake my wife used to make.
And okay.
Why can't I use beetroot? And I tried it. It worked all right.
Did it come out pink?
It was sort of brownie red.
Yes. I was going to say it would change the colour because zucchini certainly wouldn't do that. But
it wasn't very exciting, but it did work.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, and a bit of icing does it wonders for, you know, things that don't work, quite frankly. But anyway, that's it there. And I'd love people to try that because it is definitely a success. And then, as we said before, we have got another fish dish and sort of purely by accident. But anyway, it looks lovely as well. And the two very different. And it's marinara pie. Oh, I had to get my mouth around that.
You're almost Italian
there. Oh, okay. Marinara. Yeah. But anyway, you can get the mix and you need 500 grams of marinara mix. And basically, I think they sell it in the must be the frozen section, of course.
No, you just get it offered in the deli.
Oh, section. Do you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yep,
they sell it like as you want it.
As you want it, just loose in a tray.
Oh,
and it always looks delicious.
Oh, well, there you are.
You know, because there's different colours of fish and chunks of fish. And
oh,
bits
lovely.
Of squid.
So, could you? I'm asking you now. Can you actually buy some of that and then just mix it with Thousand Island dressing or something and eat it?
You got to cook it.
Oh, you do have
to. It is raw.
Oh, it is raw. Oh, okay.
But when you see it in the deli and in a tray, it looks delicious because it's...
Oh, right.
And of course, it's a good basis, as you're using it here.
Yeah, okay. So here we are. So 500 grams of that. Now, if you are buying it from the deli, I'm just thinking because you'd need to, it'd be probably sort of quite moist. So you might just put a paper towel or something and just get that sort of moisture off, like quite wet, and just do that before you actually tip it into your dish. That's my little tip for this dish. Then we're wanting a large can of potato and leek soup. So probably, I don't know, large can, 450, 475, one of the larger cans of potato and leek soup anyway from the supermarket. And 185-gram piece of salmon, flaked, a half a cup of cream, 1.5 tablespoons of plain flour, a quarter of a cup of chopped dill, plus a little bit of, you know, extra for serving. Now, I just sort of thinking, people don't often have dill. I mean, you can get it, you know, in those lovely little, packets. But I know when I have done sort of, catering for at the art centre in Wellington, we used to put dill across, you know, salmon paninis. Well, honestly, sorting through the dill is quite an amazing job because it's so fine. So if you can't, I'd use parsley anyway, or some other herb. But dill goes with this sort of fish
dish.
Dill
does go with salmon.
Yeah,
doesn't
it does go with salmon.
I know what you're saying. If you sneeze on it, it'll disappear.
That's right. One cup of frozen peas, thawed. One egg, 50 grams of butter melted, and it says 475 grams of instant mashed potato. Now, I used to use this a lot, of course, when we used to do tramping. We used to take the good old instant mashed potatoes in. Oh, honestly, it was fabulous. But listen, if you can just cook that many potatoes and just mash them. So, but it depends on how swift you want this to get done.
Don't you find instant mashed potato is one of those things that tastes absolutely wonderful when you're out camping, but when you cook it at home, you think, why am I eating this stuff?
Exactly. So my take on this, folks, is to, you know, just boil up a few potatoes and mash them. But like we say, if you push for time, that's it. So, and lemon halves to serve. So you're preheating your oven for 200 degrees Celsius, lightly grease a 2-litre casserole dish. In a large bowl, combine the marinara mix, the soup, salmon, cream, flour, and dill, and season and transfer to a dish. In a food processor, pulse the peas, egg, and butter to a chunky paste, so you're not thrashing it till it's smooth, just chunky. Add prepared mashed potato, pulse to combine, you're just combining it, and season. Spread the potato mix roughly over the seafood and bake for 35 to 40 minutes or until bubbling and beginning to go golden. I love those words, beginning to go golden. And scatter with dill if you've got any left and serve with lemon. And this looks absolutely lovely. I have got an illustration, so I'm going to hold it up in front of Peter.
Oh, gosh, that's green, isn't it?
It's lovely green. It's lovely green.
Mm.
Mm, very nice.
Yeah, that does look nice. It sounds nice. I think marinara is a wonderful thing because it's such a lovely mixture of fish.
Yeah.
And it's all prepared for you.
Yeah, that's right.
It.
Yeah, no waste.
Again,
yeah.
This is quite a large quite a large serving.
Oh, good, you know, good, yeah. With the 185-gram piece of salmon in there. And basically, I did some paninis last week and did put cream cheese and a little bit of chutney and a bit of salmon over the top and the sliced salmon. I didn't buy a chunky piece. And then just parsley over the top. And the salmon is just lovely.
Well, this should appeal to all those people who say they can't be bothered to cook or anything. This is somebody produced a Cheats cookbook once, didn't they?
Oh, did they? Oh, I must try and get hold of it.
I don't know if it was Nigella Lawson or somebody.
Oh.
Anyway, so when you're buying your marinara mix, so you haven't got to do anything with the fish.
No, that's right. And a salmon.
You've got a tin of soup,
yeah,
which is a great idea, a piece of salmon, okay? You've got frozen peas and you've got instant mashed potato.
Well,
I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Well, how easy is that, Peter?
It's a good one. It's a good one.
It is. It is. Right. Well.
Well, there we are. Another round of super duper recipes from Gail, and a fishy week, as you will realize.
Yes. All brought from the supermarket, not off the shore. Well, I think eventually was, I guess. But yeah, so that's us. A wrap up, really.
That's a wrap up, and we'll be back next week. And
we certainly will.
All being well, you'll have first hand reports on the pot pies and the vegan.
Yes. It might have to make it closer so that we can, you know, I can bring a little pot full in. Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you, Gail.
Thank you very much, Peter, indeed.
See you next week.
See you.
Bye.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.